they were kind and didn't tell you I got lost getting to a meeting Thursday night. I was an hour late. Yeah, amen. What she said. Yeah, that works. Yeah. You know, this morning, especially when we're singing, it's about more than a song. It's like I could feel the weight of the presence of God, and I could sense God's pleasure with you. I could sense God's delight in you, with you, in this place. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Some of the beginning things I'm going to say are really to be spoken into the spirit world over this house, over this city. Because God has his hand on you and no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. See, where I want to talk about this morning is Jesus is not afraid of a storm. Who knows? He is not afraid of a storm. He is not afraid of circumstances. He is not intimidated by a storm. And what we see in the aftermath of many storms in life, we call them storms or wilderness seasons where we've got to press in and push through. I call it pressing in from what we know to who we know. Because what you know is not going to help you. It's who you know is going to help you. See, storms have a way of bringing renewed faith, bringing renewed trust. I'm not saying God sends them all. I'm going to talk about the two most common storms we face in daily life. But I know God to be a very present help in times of trouble. He says, look to the heavens, for there, from there comes your help, not your circumstances, not good advice, but profound wisdom from heaven and the strategies of God to get you through your storm. You know what? When I got saved, I don't know why I thought this. Nobody told me this. You know, I went from thinking I know everything in the world to thinking I know everything in Christendom. So it was just a trait that followed me. But it was like I thought that now everything was going to be so easy. That's what God did, I'm sure. I thought everybody now is just going to be nice. And we're just going to sit around holding hands, singing Kumbaya. Just waiting for the clouds to part and Jesus to return. Did not take long for a wake-up call. Anybody with me here? As very, very short-lived. See, I learned that I wasn't saved from the storms of life. But I now had a friend and a brother. I now had a king and a savior who would walk with me through every storm that came across my path. Through every circumstance, I now have a king, I have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother, I have a covenant-keeping Jesus who said, when you met me, I made you a promise that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You are mine and I am yours and I'm with you on your good days, on your bad days, on your worst days. Let me tell you, Jesus made that covenant with you, and you can't break a covenant you didn't make. Think about that for a second. Sometimes we think we have bad days or we mess up, or am I the only one in here who's ever messed up? I have a book on messing up. It's a gift. But I learned that when I didn't feel like I deserved God's goodness, He was right there to give it to me. Because He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are mine. I am yours. It is truly a marriage made in heaven. I learned, instead of trying to change the things around me, that God wanted to change the things in me, and then the things around me started to change, because all change starts on the inside. That's where God works from. That's where God flows from. That's where God births from. I now have the bread of heaven and the rain of heaven and the sweetest rose of Sharon. I now had Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and the resurrection and the life walking in me and through me. I got to tell you, I'm a winner whether I look it or not. You are too. We are all winners. I learned that Jesus loves to work on the inside and birth all the great things that He put in all of us from the inside out. So you don't need God to add one more thing to your life. He's given you everything pertaining to life. You need to bring it to birth in His presence in your walk with Him. He is unafraid of the life storms. And as I was thinking about His power this morning, about how faithful God is to His sons and His daughters, and how much He is for them on the battlefield of life, I thought of that scripture in 2 Kings 6:17, and this is what I believe is in the spirit world around here. And over Bundaberg and over this house, Elisha prayed, open his eyes so that he may see. That then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around. If we could see into the realm of the spirit, we would see the hills, we would see the spirit world with horses and chariots and the armies of heaven around our lives, around this place, around this house. We would see God in the invisible realm to this natural eye. We would see the armies of God have taken their place. Oh! I had to do it in Tim's absence. I just. At least when I do it, I don't fall over. You know what's interesting? In Isaiah 43, verse 2, I'll read it to you because I've got a new Bible from your bookshop and I want to use it. Isaiah 43 verse 2. It says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through waters of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God goes on to say in James chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, He said, brethren, think it not strange when. You know, that when is a big little word. You think about that word. We're not if. Not if a little trial comes my way. Or not if the waters around me are coming around me and I feel like I'm going down for the last time. But he says, when. See, God equipped us with his promise to face these storms and go through the waters, through the fire, to get through strange and trials and things like that, where God works perseverance and patience. I think I need some new trials, but anyway, I'm not asking God for that. Oh, you know, I told you when I first got saved, we used to sing this song, "Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me." I was like, why would we do that? I found out he did it anyway, so I didn't want to encourage him anymore. It's amazing. I love God. I love his promises, and I love the fact that everybody is so different, including me a little bit. You're going through life and you come to church and they sing, "Surely your goodness is running after me." I say, "God, do you want me to slow down a little bit so it can catch up?" He said, when you go through trials, when you go through the waters, when you go through fiery trials, when trials and temptations come, he says, offenses must come. Now, there's a surprise. See, I never thought we were going to see any of this. I thought everybody was just nice. But I showed up, so that made the playing field messed up to start off with. So, see, the first storm I want to talk about that God moved in. But see, when we talk about storms in the Bible, we understand their circumstances of life, and Jesus is not intimidated by the power of a storm or the power of your circumstances. As a matter of fact, is everything all right? Sorry? Oh, booming. Ooh. Okay. Sorry about that down the back. Okay. As a matter of fact, he sent his disciples to go to the other side. Now I can't hear me, but anyway, it's all good. It's all good. All good, good, good. See, one word from me and I carry such authority. Everybody does what they like, you know. It's see, Jesus commanded. Is that still booming? No? You want up? Oh, they want up now. I'll just yell into this and see who hears it, okay? Okay. Sorry? See, Jesus commanded the disciples to sail to the other side. It wasn't a choice. It wasn't a hint. He commanded them to get into the boat and sail to the other side. And then he went to the mountain to pray. So he commanded them to sail across a lake that was known for its storms and turbulence. So in doing what Jesus told them to do, they sailed straight into a horrific storm. See, they didn't do anything wrong. You know, sometimes we look inwards instead of upwards. They just sailed across in obedience. But you see, Jesus understood the storms and the times of life, and he knew that he could see that boat from the mountain from where he was praying to the Father. He was watching that boat sail across as he prayed to the Father. And when that boat was halfway across in the middle, he came out walking on the water and he made everything good for them. I want to tell you, he's not afraid of the storm. He is the master of conflict and the King of Kings. There's a storm in Acts chapter 27. We're going to reference a couple of scriptures from there. I call this Paul's perfect storm. Yeah, sorry, it disappeared. Acts chapter 27, now they're sailing, Paul is headed to Rome, and we're looking at verse 10. Paul's telling the men, he said, "I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on, shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well." But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. See, here we see Paul was called in a life-threatening storm because he was caught up in the result of someone else's wrong decision. This captain, they made a decision to sail. And because they wouldn't listen to reason, because they had other issues and other agendas, they decided they were going to sail anyway. And Paul was caught up in a storm that threatened his life, but as an innocent victim of somebody else's choices and somebody else's. Anybody ever been like that? You caught up in the fallout of somebody else's bad decisions. And you're just in the fallout of that. You are innocent victim. And that fallout will touch you. You will get in that fallout and you will suffer in that fallout. Just like Paul did. So often, this is one of the most common storms that we go through. We suffer in the fallout of people around us, our work, our home, our life, somewhere. Somebody makes a decision that is not right, that is not good, and we are part of the consequences of that decision. We are trapped in somebody else's storm. See, when we read down in Acts 27 and verses 22 and 24. Okay. Now I can't find it. It's gone out of my Bible. I really want to read this for you. I could talk it through, but I really want to read it. But here's Paul talking to them. They know the ship's going down. They know it. They're in a horrific storm. And Paul says, "But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" See, Paul could have stood there and said, "I told you so." He did mention it, but not in anger. He said, "I wish you had listened to my warning." He didn't get all upset. He didn't like get all bent out of shape and was walking around angry and you made a wrong choice and now I'm caught up in the fallout of your wrong choice and it's your fault I'm like this. It's your fault that I'm angry. It's your fault that I'm in this condition. It's your fault. Can I tell you, blame and shame move no mountains. I wrote that on my Facebook today. I wanted to use it somewhere. See, laying blame never ever brought resolution to anything. It's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. It's always someone's fault. But you see, when we're a Christ-like person, when we have some maturity about us, we will pull our heart into line. We will discipline our thoughts. We will discipline our emotions. We will get off the deck of that ship that's raging and going side to side and getting ready to sink. And we will go into the belly of that ship and we will turn our focus to the answer of all storms. And we will reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, we need you right now in this boat, in this minute. He does not need reminding why he's in there. Jesus, we need you. Paul found Jesus in the belly of a ship in a storm. Jonah found Jesus in the belly of a whale in a storm. The disciples found Jesus on the water in a storm. Jesus is front and center in your storm if you will reach out to him. He's the fourth man in your fire. He stands his watch in and beside your life. Jesus, I need you. The ship's going down. And there's no hope. Jesus, I need you. Because it feels like my world is falling apart. I need you. I need you. And as Paul looked to God, God began to speak to Paul a strategy. And because Paul was on that boat, everybody else's lives were saved. Can I tell you, when you feel like your life is falling apart or you want to quit or you want to jump overboard, can I tell you, when you get down to the belly of your storm and you begin to cry out to Jesus, that God will answer you, God will speak to you, and everybody in your boat will find Jesus and be saved and go through and be part of the outcome because you were mature enough to get on your face and say, Jesus, it's not that I want to blame anybody, but we need your deliverance. No resolution ever comes from pointing fingers. It comes when Jesus speaks to us. You know, one of the first things Jesus reminded Paul of, I want to tell you, this is one of your greatest weapons in life through storms. But Jesus reminded Paul that I've got an appointment for you in Rome. He said, you cannot die on this shipwreck. He said, because I need you in Rome. I made that appointment. I made that time. I have to get you to Rome. And Paul knew that his unfulfilled destiny in God, he knew he would get to Rome, but he just didn't know how. When you stand up in your storm and you declare to your storm, I've got rooms I need to get to. I've got rooms that I need to be at. I've got promises that God gave me. I've got things to do, people to see. I've got places to go because God set them up in my future. And I don't have time to die in this storm today. Am I being too loud? Breathe. Thank you. Thank you for the... And Jesus began to tell Paul the strategy and the outcome for the boat and the sailors then. But first he encouraged Paul. He said, I haven't changed my mind about your appointment in Rome. You know, so often we think when plans go sideways, we think God's changed his mind. We quit on God. I want to tell you, plans change. Plans change. Purpose never changes. When I got saved, I was all about the plan. The plan, the plan, the plan. I'd stick to that plan even if it led me over a cliff. I just couldn't move. I was afraid to move from the plan. But I want to tell you, it's the purpose that we're headed to, and plans change. The world changes. Circumstances change. And we cannot be afraid to be adjustable on the journey. If you were going to the store to get some food, and you're driving down your normal road, and all of a sudden there's a sign that says road closed, do you turn around and go home and say, well, I guess I didn't want the food anyway? No, you find another way. Because food is the purpose. You with me? Come on, just because plans adjust a little bit, God hadn't changed his mind about your roams. You know, in South Africa, we did a conference called Trauma to Purpose. And we were talking about trauma and different things, and all these people, excuse me, all these people started to openly weep. One lady started to share, well, lady and men there, but one lady started to share about being abused as a little girl. And as she started to share that, one third of all the people who came, men and women, started to break down. Because something happened to her as a little girl and nobody would do anything about it because they didn't want to make family look bad. And so now she was not only defiled and abused, but she was now cast out like she didn't matter. Oh, I want to tell you, she mattered to God. And her whole life, she's living as an innocent victim in somebody else's storm. Caught up in the fallout of somebody else's wrong choices, bad choices, lifestyle. And what happens is they carry this storm through shame and guilt on the inside until one day they become the storm. And then they go from person to person, relationship to relationship. You know what I'm talking about? And one by one, as God started to move, they started to forgive. They started to say, I forgive. And there was such an air of cleanness and purity and love in that place as men and women wept through being a victim of somebody else's storm, abuse in some kind. See, if the enemy wants you to hide something, you better start to shout it from the mountaintops. That's what I say. Because if he wants you to hide it, he's afraid of you being healed. And he's afraid of what that will do in and through your life to his kingdom. But we saw all these people living in the fallout of somebody else's storm. God's got to heal. And he will heal regardless of what your storm looks like. Why ever it was there. It might be something that somebody was driving irresponsibly and it cost your family dearly. But as people of God, if we will learn to not harbor blame and guilt of some sort, and begin to release people to God. We don't know what it will do to the people who wronged you, but we do know what it will do to us. I think we heard that this morning somewhere, that it'll bring a cleansing to us and it'll bring a healness, a healing and a wholeness to us. See, this is probably one of the most common circumstances, is it not, in the day we live? You know, I often think of church life, and God's like in his weird sense of, you think I've got a sense of humor? Sometimes I look at what God does and go like, really? He put people from different backgrounds, different social places, different whatever, just different personalities. And he put them all together in something called kingdom. And he said, now I want you to love each other. You're like, for real? I don't even like that person. I can't think of anyone I don't like, actually. But I know I annoy the tar out of some people. But, you know, it's like... But he put everybody in and he said, I want you to love each other. I want you to live second mile Christianity because you are all a work in progress. You are all iron sharpens iron. So when we find ourselves caught up in a storm like Paul, the storm of somebody else's decisions, we go to the belly of that storm. We go into our prayer closet. We don't go to the phone. We don't go to social media. We don't go to all those wonderful gossipy places. We go to the floor of my prayer closet and I begin to cry out to Jesus for deliverance from that storm. And when I cry out to Jesus, he will rise through me. And I want to tell you, the end result will be better than it was even in the beginning. If we will do it God's way, we are on the highways of God. Is that all right, church? You're not mad at me? Oh, thank you. You know the second storm I want to talk about, and I promise it'll be shorter, you'll get home today, is the storms that I put myself into. You know, I find it's easier to forgive some people than to forgive myself. Anybody else? It's easier to forgive somebody who hurt you. But when you've got to forgive yourself for being the one who did the hurting, that's a whole other ballgame. When we let ourselves down, when we make wrong decisions, when we make wrong choices, And the fallout of that puts other people that we love in a storm. Where we are wrong and there is no way to justify it, no way to do it. I just, like, oh God, I don't know what I was thinking, obviously wasn't thinking. And there are so many good people. They are living in the regrets of the past because they will not forgive themselves. They don't count themselves as worthy of the blood of Christ and His forgiveness. They will count somebody else worthy. They will count somebody else forgiven. But when it comes to us, when it comes to me, oh, it's, oh no, no, Jesus, no. It's the cross. Trish and I were listening a little bit to Carmen this morning, trying to keep sane in the kitchen, and Carmen screaming out, anyone ever heard of Carmen? Oh my gosh, this blood is for you, this blood is for you. And I'm like, oh, I could have stand on the kitchen table. I was so excited. But forgiveness and love is for you, just as much as it is for anybody else. And sometimes we've got to be brave enough to say, I forgive me, Jesus. Sometimes we've got to be brave enough to think that Jesus could possibly restore us and use us again. See, Charles Spurgeon, great preacher, great man of God, said, it is a mortifying thought for any person to compare with what could have been done with what has been done. He also said this, that 1,000 years of regret does not pay one farthing of debt. See, all regret does is push us back into the past because we're trying to work forward, but we're on the back foot here. Yes, I'm going forward, but look what I did. Yes, I'm going forward, but I made that wrong decision. Yes, I'm going forward in business, but I made a mistake before. And we're like back and forth, back and forth. I remember going through a real hard time in my life and so filled with condemnation. This is a long time ago. And somebody, this prophet guy, walks in and he points to me as I sat in the church and he said, your file is clean. There is nothing written on that file. I thought, well, if God doesn't want to read it and keep it, maybe I need to start to let it go. It's the same for everybody. See, when Paul said, I press on, remember in Philippians, Paul said, I press on to the high call of God in Christ Jesus. It wasn't like a little tiptoe through the tulips. Paul said, I push, I press, I lean into the high call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. And if Paul could forget those things that are behind him, I want to tell you there's hope for you and I. Because Paul killed, murdered, displaced thousands and thousands of Christians in the thought that he was defending God. I often wonder what Paul thought when he sat there for 3 days and nights fasting in the house where Ananias took him to. And the person that he had gone after people for just appeared to him. And I bet you anything you like, he had to have been thinking, how could I have been so wrong when I thought I was so right? I tell you, Paul needed more grace than all of us put together. I think it would have been easier for Paul to go fishing and stand up there again. And the people said to him, is this not the man? I say if Paul can do it, we can do it. And he took a hold of a new future in God. Every person has got could've, would've, should've's. Everybody. But somewhere along the line, we've got to cut those things loose and decide it's a new day without that. And you can be assured when you decide to do that, somebody's going to show up and want to take you fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. You hear me? Some well-meaning, it's a new day, I'm starting. Well, did you get over that time that you really messed up and you made that? Did you? What did you think about? How do you feel about that now? You're like, and if you're brave enough, you'll say, I don't remember. I don't know what you're talking about. Now, that might be a bit straight, but sometimes you've got to make a stand to say, I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm going to move on from that. I don't need to go fishing all the time in that. Somebody went to Catherine Kuhlman and she had a little bit of history and they had to serve some papers to her. And they said, well, how do you sort of deal with this and do what you do? And they handed her some papers and she said, that woman died. That woman died. That person died. And if Jesus doesn't bring it up, then nor should anybody else or you. Amen? Now, I know some things need healing and some things need help and some things need to be brought to the surface to be healed. But that's all, to be healed and to be buried. That's the only reason. Not to make it alive again. So I want to encourage everybody. My last preach here. For now, okay. Did you get something out of that today? Come on. Life has got all sorts of twists and turns. And we've got to be prepared to work in the environment that we live in, which often is very unpredictable. We've got to understand that there really is a prayer closet. There really is a time we get on our face. There really is a time we turn off the phone, turn off social media, turn off people's opinions. It's all they are is people's opinions. It's time to turn everything off and fall on my face in my storm, regardless of I bought it or somebody else brings it. I'm going to fall on my face and cry out to my God who said he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. He said he's for me. He said if I am for you, then nothing can happen against you. He said if I am for you, he said greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Oh my gosh. Thought I want to walk up the back here and say hello to everybody. This is why I'm a video person's nightmare. It's like, where did she go? God loves you and he wants to see you through, amen. He loves you so much. So as we stand and as we sing this song, we've got great prayer teams in this church. If anything spoke to you this morning in that word, you need to come and just get touched by the love of God. If it's very personal, you don't need to share details. It's between you and Jesus. Just say, I need a touch from God. If you need healing today, that was on my heart all morning. We want you to come and we're going to believe God for you. We're going to stand, we're going to sing to our King who is greater and mightier than any storm that will cross your path. Amen. Amen. Just as we sing and we open up this altar and the prayer team comes, I will say goodbye and I'll be here tonight as part of it, but thank you for having me, Restoration House. Thank you so much. Thank you.